It wasn't that long ago, 2 weeks to be exact, that I spoke about the pernicious nature of bad religion, how believing in a wrathful God of judgment can suck the joy right out of life. Its insidious nature gets broadcast over the whole earth, and it makes it difficult to find joy, to find life when the main narrative surrounding God is one of judgment, which quite often manifests itself as discrimination by the hands of the purported people of God. We celebrated the Feast of Pentecost that day, which seemed like an offering to us, a gift that was meant to spark joy, a joy that we could then share with the world around us. And here today, I think we are given more gifts of joy, more gifts of grace, of graciousness, of graceful encounters and grace-filled exposition. I can't stress enough how much I love these two passages of Scripture. Paul's incredible exhortation on liberation and freedom in Christ, and this wonderful and strange but hopeful story of a Gerasene demoniac set free from his oppression. And while on the surface, it seems that only the barest of threads connects these two passages, digging a bit more deeply than surface interpretation reveals, at least in my opinion, reveals hearts beating with the same rhythm. Beating with the rhythm of the liberating spirit of freedom that comes from Jesus of Nazareth himself. So, naked and afraid, excluded from the society around him, having been deemed unfit for the public, the Gerasene knelt before Jesus. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." The terror is palpable. Not the terror of the demoniac attacking people, but the terror within this man and the tension thicker than blood. And Jesus' response, was it one of immediate judgment, immediate rebuke? Was it one that questioned the source of the demons, operating with an assumption that the man himself, surely he must have committed some deep wrongs which led to his possession? No. It was a simple question. It's simplicity betraying Jesus' love. What is your name? Because in the eyes of Jesus, the Gerasene demoniac kneeling before him was not some hopeless case, was not a worthless catastrophe of inhuman proportions. This Gerasene demoniac was one of his beloved children, whose dignity remained intact despite the chains of oppression that held him down, that drove him into the tombs, that drove him to literally keep company with the dead, because true life had eluded him. And asking his name, though the name he received was still marred by demonic oppression, asking his name was the beginning of the stand for freedom, a stand against the way human beings are often reduced to things less than human by forces of pain and oppression. He set him free. Right then and there, in that graveyard, near those tombs, he set that demoniac free, and he set him on a new course, a course of proclamation, of celebration, of joy. People came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. But the man was free, and it was all because of Jesus. So Paul, too, speaks of freedom, of release. But it's release of a different sort. It's not release from demonic oppression, whatever that may mean. It's release from the law. from that deadening spirit of legalism that entraps the people of God, which, if we're honest, which I think we need to practice honesty more as a virtue, always threatens to ensnare us again and again and again. But now that faith has come, Paul says, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There's beauty in that. In Christ Jesus, we are children of God. Elsewhere, Paul says we are co-heirs with Christ. We are more than just problems that need continuous correction. In fact, we are not subject to the corrective force of the law at all. We enjoy a new happiness and a new freedom. That should be good news enough. But Paul takes it a step further. Not only are we free from law, we are free from socially constructed identity markers that keep us separate, that divide us into factions of insiders and outsiders. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. I mean, we've heard that so many times that it may sort of either fall on deaf ears or it's like, oh yeah, cool. But the force of that statement cannot be overestimated. The release from binaries that created strata of significance, designations of who was worthy, of who was privileged and preferred by God, for this to have been delivered to a first century people whose society was literally built upon structures of separation. I mean, this would have seemed like pure nonsense. And in fact, hearing it in the context of a society that still operates with levels of preference and privilege and inclusion, it's like we haven't learned our lesson. And while it may have been nonsense then, and while it may seem like nonsense to some today, it was the apostles' message, and it can be ours too. And while the apostle never seemed to be truly able to move beyond a world of binaries and division, right? We know what he said elsewhere, particularly when it comes to women. Maybe we can. In our time and in our own way, learn to walk in the fullness of such a radical yet biblical teaching. Stories and teachings like these give me hope. They fill me with joy. They cast a vision of a future that's worth fighting for. That which divides us, separates us, those things are set aside, more than just set aside, they're rendered worthless. And what is privileged is this new humanity knit together by Jesus Christ. And that which holds us down, which oppresses us, which keeps us chained up, entombed among the dead, by the liberating words of Jesus Christ, such things are banished, they're exorcised, and restoration can happen. And lucky us, since Jesus isn't physically here anymore to do the work for us, lucky us that we get to carry it on. And I say that a little bit sarcastically, but I also mean it. We are privileged. We are so privileged to be able to do this work. I mean, what a gift that we, in spite of all of the things that we may think discount us for the work of the kingdom, that we are invited to exorcise spirits of oppression and to tear down walls of division. That is some crazy good news. I mean, there's no promise that it will be easy. In fact, there's a promise that it will be difficult. History teaches us that. But this is a religious vision, a religious sentiment worth broadcasting to the whole world. In Christ, That which divides us and binds us is shattered beyond recognition. To be sure, we are free to be bound if we want to be. Free to be bound by law, by false piety, by legalism, by the prejudices of our context and our own conscience. We are free to be bound if we want to be. But in Christ, we simply don't have to be. And that gives me joy. Amen.